for the. Try to.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Turn the fucking beat up!
What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
What noise?
Really, sir, there wasn't any noise.
The Alpine's bumping, but I need the volume high.
Turn me on till I earn them on. Let's get it on.
Stop banging on the damn furnace. You hear me now? This is the last time.
What up, though, y'all? It's your boy Lil Gross, also known as Uncle Skeetar. You tuned in for another installment of the Skeetar Listening Series, presented by Inaudible Ruckus. I got the big homie Righteous, 1/4 of the Bang Pros production team, man. We got him on here. We're going to discuss his endeavors, his thought process, his art form, and the movement, the Bang Pros movement that's taking Houston by storm, man. Also, shout out to Miss Cat. Keep it locked here, though. Play my theme music.
Now, say my name.
In this thing, it is another edition of the Skeetar Listening Series. Okay, I got my man Righteous, 1/4 of the Bang Pros. What up, though?
Let's go. What's happening?
So, first off, bro, we appreciate you taking time to come on the show. You got a very busy week, and we're gonna get into it. But I know you're promoting an event that's coming up. But we want to take it all the way back to the beginning. So, tell us about Bang Pros. You know what I'm saying? Where is everybody from originally, and how long have y'all been producing?
Okay, I am the founder of Bang Pros. I have a track record in Houston, Texas, with over 15 to 20 years of influences in the Houston sound and the works. I founded it basically because, it's certain levels of, grind that we should attack this game. And what I did was found people that were just as hungry as me to be able to establish that. I got Juice, a.k.a. Lord Business, from North Carolina. I got Big News, from Chicago, South side of Chicago. And I got Wayne from TG, which is Trinity Garden in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How long have y'all, because I mean that's a hell of a lineup, man, because when you say all these, I'm paying attention to where everybody from because of the different sounds. So how did y'all form? Y'all just linked up organically, or did you recruit them, like assemble them like the Avengers? Like, how'd this come about?
Yeah, pretty much Avengers assembled. Actually, Juice, I met most of the guys, two of them I met, one from, the regular, I guess, the 9-to-5 situation where they call them a square gig down here. Mm-hmm. And after we realized, when you work in an environment that you realize, it's like, man, I'm smarter than a lot of, people that's over me or what you want to call it.
Yep, yep.
So me and also knowing my track record, News had his own company going at the time. And, he came on into the fold to help, create this monster and build upon it. And also, I apologize, I left out Miss Cat on Miss Cat TV. Which also we ended up working with her to do some movie scoring and et cetera for her company. So, just being out here grinding, we kept seeing each other's faces in the grind, and eventually we, culminated to what you have today.
Right. So I got to ask you then, because is BANG an acronym? And if it is, what does it stand for?
Okay, BANG stands for Believe, and never give up.
Ooh.
That's what Bang stands for.
Okay.
And that's basically what we push. That's what we, you know, no gas. We don't put no brakes on this thing. We gonna go at it.
I like that, man. It's a certain, so I'll put it this way, man, and that's kind of when I came up with the Inaudible Ruckus concept. It's like you bringing the streets to whatever platform you're doing, that tenacity and that hustle, like, and that, like you said, never giving up. Like, that, you got me there, so I'm supporting the movement already.
Yeah, man, appreciate that. It's always, you know, it's in our history to turn a negative into a positive,
right.
You know, with all the negative connotation cast on us. So, you know, this is something that we knew when we were just discussing and talking about it. And one day it just hit like a ton of bricks. And like, no, this is what that is. It's not, it ain't about nothing else but believing and never giving up, pushing to get to where we need to go.
Right. So, I mean, one of the things, and I noticed this just when I first got wind of y'all through Miss Cat. Shout out to Miss Cat. She told me about
shout
y'all.
Out.
So I did a little homework. And so y'all are a production company. But I want you, for the listeners out there who may not know, because, you know, you're in the industry, so a lot of people don't understand this, but break down the actual role of a producer, and can you share some light, the distinction between a composer and a beat maker?
Right on. Man, that's awesome, bro. I'm so glad you asked that question. That's the size of a good interviewer.
I got you, bro.
When
I got you.
When it comes down to, man, is, you know, a beat maker is the guy who you go to and you just purchase a beat from him, and you go on and you do your thing with that beat. A producer is the person who designs a song fit to you that has the potential to be a hit or a marketable hit. What we do is whatever it takes to make that song a classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever it takes to make that song, give that song legs so it can run and make a profit for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's basically what we do. When you come to us, we're going to say, okay, here's some tracks that fit you. Here's some hook concepts that fit you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can get this person on that song. I can get that person on that song. And with that, you know what I'm saying, we are able to make an impact.
So it sounds to me like you are, in fact, like you're into the art of it as opposed to the business of it. Because beat makers make beats, give it to you, and it's like whatever you want to do it. But you want to help make a complete body of work from start to finish. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
That's what a producer does, man. That's what you do. You come to us and say, oh, okay, I want to do an EP. Well, all right, man, this is what your EP should consist of or sound like, man. Or this is, you know, we have to, when you're a producer, man, you got to figure the demographics you're trying to touch.
Yep.
And all those things. And a lot of times as an artist, man, you know, a lot of artists can get locked into our tunnel vision on what they're doing specifically. Like, you see this rap, they just like to rap. It's a thing, they just like to sing, you know. So, you know, what a producer does is say, you know what, let's try something outside the box. Let's make a jingle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make something that makes people chant. Let's make something slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what it's about, bro.
So I got to ask then, because musicality is always, I think this day and age with this new kind of wave of music, musicality is left out of it. So do you guys,
or,
like your team, do you guys play instruments? And if y'all do, like which ones?
Yes, sir. Okay. I myself play the keyboard. My man News plays the harmonica.
Okay.
and like I said, well, that'll be it for that. My other guy, like I said, Wayne is a street team guy who gets out there and handles social media and more business, sits at the table
mm-hmm.
and argues for those deals.
So then, too, when y'all sitting in the studio, right, vibing out, let's just say, you know, you working
okay.
with an artist, and you constructing a
okay.
beat, do you kind of divide and conquer based on, like, you know, is somebody more, okay, you work on the drums, this person work on the strings? How do you delegate the roles when you composing a beat?
Okay, basically what we have is, you know, we have pre-production studios. So, you know, one day we might meet up at the new spot. Welcome to Bang, man. Y'all check it out. But we'll go there and listen and say, I might say, you know, most of the time is, hey, let's bring out those snares a little bit. Let's bring out those hi-hats.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add a different bass line than that 808 we got. You know what I'm saying? So it's really the team trusting me to make the decisions to make sure that the sound is banging. You know what I mean?
So you play quarterback then?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. But like I say, it's not really... The thing is, with me and News is such a challenging competition between each other when we make it be, because he's from the West Coast.
Okay.
He'll play something that I didn't even know was out there. It put me in put me in a position where I got to get on the defensive, and change up my game plan as far as beat making.
I mean, but and when you said where everybody was from, I heard all these, like, the listeners gonna listen to like the names and who's who. I was listening to where they come from because I just heard all these different sounds just playing all at once in my head. But I think that gives y'all a certain level of expertise. And it's all these different frames of reference when it's time to come together and create a project.
Man.
Would you say that?
Yeah, straight up, bro. Yeah, definitely. It really is, man. It's just... and plus, you know, Houston is such a cultural melting pot.
Yep.
Like, right now, I do believe they have Caribbean Fest or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you'd be exposed to so much. Me, I came from the southwest side of Houston. I was culturally exposed to a lot. So you never know what she'd be coming out of a listening session with.
Right.
You might get some Caribbean play, bro. You might just hear some pop. You don't know what you'd be exposed to.
So Righteous, I gotta ask you then, man. Let's rewind it back a little bit. Can you break down the process? So if a rapper comes to you, right, do you hear what they got first, or do you listen to some of their previous stuff, or do you start clean with them? What's the process for composing a beat for a rapper? Like, what do? You fill them out, or you have some pre-made heat for them? Like, how you go about that?
Okay, most of the time, you know, a rapper hit us up and book a listening session. We listen to the work that they have, as you stated, and we come back and say, okay, well, this is what we have already. Now, if you want something custom, okay, well, how flexible are you? How willing are you to work with, you know, the custom that we're bringing to you? You know what I'm saying? Because some people, you might have a cat that, man, I want gut. I want none of the street stuff. I want to punch him in the head. I want to kick him in the face.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's not your lane, though, bro, because I'm looking at you. So what you might want to do is, let's cater to the women. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
think they're taking serious on their game. Let's cater to the girls and check out some of these tracks and some of these hook concepts. And then we'll go from there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And figure out how we can get them what they want and also give them where to be beneficial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's basically the game plan or the process whenever we work with different artists.
I love improv.
Like, you're consulting and helping them, because a lot of times in this industry, and I'm sure you know this, there are no more A&Rs, right, where they come in and help walk you through and help you craft your sound, your image. So you have to have that already. So you need somebody behind the boards with that guidance and that tutelage to walk you through, like, look, maybe we should try this, maybe we should try that.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely correct, man. It's a lot of guys with a lot of talent who missed a real ticket. Because they got within these, they still don't, you know, taking the advice and wisdom from others around them, they got with a homeboy and just tried to, you know, do a whole marketing and promotional budget on doing, you know, some stuff that wasn't going to benefit them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've seen guys make songs that were, you know, on some gangster and they're not gangster. And then they catch up to you in the street.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm from the, bro.
Before you get to the bread, they catch up to you in the street.
We talked about this offline. I'm from Detroit, man. Yeah. So I, you know,
come on, man.
You gotta watch where you step, man. Because you know, at any given time, they gonna pull that card, man. They gonna come for you, dog, just to see if you bought it.
They will do it. They will eat your lunch.
So I gotta ask you then, man. You can speak for you, right? But who are some of the artists / producers that you may listen to for inspiration when it's time for you to make beats?
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good one, bro. Like I said, you own your job. I am a big fan myself of artists and producers, like Willie Hutch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I definitely like Willie Hutch. I definitely listen to a lot of Biggie,
mm-hmm.
a lot of CeeLo. I'm also a fan of DJ Quick.
Yep.
And also a fan of Chadney Faye.
Okay.
And then it's a lot of Houston producers that I listen to, you know, that that motivate me as well, man. It's a laundry list of them, honestly.
I gotta go off script for a second. Did you hear that last DJ Quick album, the Rosecrans Project?
You know what? I listened to it in passing, bro. I didn't get to. I like to sit down and mirror.
Yeah.
I like to sit back, give me a drink, and just let that album, let that movie play.
Yep.
And I ain't got the chance.
Yeah, I mean, because you know it's hard now, and we've talked about this on my podcast where music you don't have time to digest it, and like you are an actual artist. I consider myself somewhat of an artist because of the communications art form. I consider myself a content curator, but I don't have time to sit down and digest the other stuff like how I used to. I'm used to just pouring up, sitting there marinating in it, feeling every vibe, every melody, and then giving like my opinion on it. But nowadays, as quick as one thing hopping out, then the next thing hopping out, and it's like, you know, popular culture is Jay-Z and you know what I'm saying, and the Kanye's and stuff, but Big Boy just dropped the tape. I mentioned the DJ Quick tape because nobody was talking about it, and it was funky.
It's literally the market is so flooded, bro. And the truth of the matter is, man, I was talking to somebody, I was like, man, music is more, it feel like the music in general, all together, it's becoming like the jazz situation where jazz slowly faded out
because
it was so much exploding in so many different arenas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you do like that big, I know exactly what you're talking about, because when I heard the Big Boy joint, I was like, hey, that Big Boy coming hard.
Yeah.
But I was getting flooded and bombarded with so much other stuff. It was like, God, no.
Yeah, you didn't have time to really enjoy it. Because, and let's be clear, if you walk up in a spot, like I just left a barbershop, if you walk up in there, everybody talking about Jay-Z album. Ain't nobody really talking about the Big Boy album.
Thank you. That's exactly what I mean. Kendrick came, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's just so much.
Yeah.
It's like, God.
You didn't even have to. And Kendrick still is the shit to me. I was talking about this with somebody else. That album is still the best album of the year. Because I went back and listened to it the other day, and I still was rocking with it, man.
Man, okay, yeah, definitely. He had a live album, man. You can't take it from the young boy is definitely evolving.
Yeah.
And being allowed to be very experimental. That's what I like about his situation. He's being allowed to be very experimental with his sound.
Yeah. I respect that. I can respect that. So I got to ask you then, you know, having those different inspirations and, you know, having the different backgrounds of your team, how would you define your sound, or do you have a sound?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Golly, that's a good question because of the fact that we really are inspired. Whatever the feeling is or the mood is, whatever we're inspired by at the time, man. Like, for instance, I'll be chilling, and then all of a sudden I hear a trap song, and I start making a trap beat. And then by the time I finish and taking, you know, running through the crew, just letting y'all what y'all think it is, we good. You know, my boy Lou's a touching, and it'll turn into some go-go.
Yeah.
So, so you know, it's whatever we are inspired by at the time, man.
Okay.
And also with different artists, we try to work with so many different diverse artists, man, because we don't like the pop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you might, like I said, we'll turn it into some pop, or we'll turn it into some R&B form, you know. That's just some of the
weapons
that's in our arsenal.
Yeah. See, and having, it's like having that in your toolbox, so to speak. I think that's what gives y'all that edge, man. And I do gotta ask you though, man. So one of the things I liked about Houston music, because I was up north, up in Detroit, and that's what kind of made me pay attention to Houston. When I caught wave of the Mike Jones, the Slim Thugs, the Chameleonaires, the Paul Walls, but then I went a level deeper and was Zero, Trey,
yeah.
Lil Kiki,
yeah.
Fat Pat.
Yeah.
Houston makes what I call, that signature sound is what I call glide music. That's that OG player, summertime, 2 miles per hour, so everybody see me type music, man. And I fucks with that. So I gotta ask you then, being from like that, like coming up in that era, being seasoned in the game as you are, what do you think of the current sound of Houston, like how it's evolved from that sound, the screw and all of that, to more like this Travis Scott kind of sound? And then ultimately off of that, can you go into what you think about hip hop as a whole?
Okay, I definitely, in my opinion, I feel like music, hip hop as a whole, it all is a recycling or revolving door. You know what I'm saying? So one minute it'll be everybody friends, and the next minute it's everybody at each other's head.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing in music is definitely, and still and always is what they call the black CNN. And this evolved beyond just being the black CNN because it's such a political platform. It seems like music goes wherever the most attention is needed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you really listen to some of the music, and like in Houston, when we was doing the screw thing and people caught wind of us and everybody started talking about Drake. Well, honestly, bro, Drake was a part.
Yeah.
You know? It was tricking your attention. It was like, yeah, Drake, but Drake was a problem.
Yeah.
And we lost living through the Drake. So right now, you're seeing a lot of, you know, these cats coming out with hits, man, and I'm one of these people, because I'm a producer, I can't sit up, and I learned from a boy from North Carolina, I can't sit up and just judge music.
Yeah.
What I do is I listen and I'm like, what is it that people like about this?
Yeah.
What is it that people, why they feeling little such and such? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I figure it out, it's like, oh, okay, that's why. See how you ride the beat. See how you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, let me come back to the question. With that said, I see music as, man, right now, you can see what it is. A lot of cats dropping jewels in these songs, too. They telling you, hey, man, get insurance on your jewelry.
Yeah.
We weren't saying that. We were just saying, I'm shining.
Yeah.
Now, hey, get insurance on your jewelry. And these, I'm like, man, these young cats, and they hit to it. Yeah, let's get that extra money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then they speak about Adderall and Percocets, and then you see what some of the problems are, too.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, man. But it's black skin in, and it's ever evolving, man. And I think it's beautiful.
See, and
a bunch of
I gotta agree with you, bro, because so, like, even for the show, a lot of people send me music. I play it on the show, and I also play it on what I call the front porch mix. I got a little mix that I do every week, just to, you know, showcase independent
awesome.
Artists around the country. And
awesome.
I do that, and a lot of times, you know, the music, I don't judge people's music, man. I listen to it and I tell them, like, okay, maybe you could work on this, maybe you could work on that, because it's their art form. It's not my job to shit on the next man's dream, right? Now, I could tell you what you can work on a little bit better here or there, but it's not my place to say what's trash and what's not. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right, bro. That's excellent, bro. That's an excellent outlook. A lot of people miss their lesson doing that, man.
Oh, I love it, bro.
to you, right, it sounds to me like you are an originator, right? Because a lot of people that are just now trying to jump off into this industry, whether it be producing, whether it be rapping, whether it be radio, whether it be podcasts, whether it be movies, a lot of people are just playing monkey see, monkey do, right? And you do have to, I will say this, there is a, you do have to look to certain people for inspiration and learn techniques and stuff, but when you are just blatantly just regurgitating what you see somebody else doing, you're not really advancing the culture, and you're not really experiencing it, like, for the art form, right? So you're not going to last long, but when you take time to respect the art and respect other people as they create their art and how to go about that, I feel like you'll have longevity in this game, man. That's my belief.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man. That's the truth. It's like, you know, we come up from that part where you had to, like, I guess my first piece of equipment was an EPS, an electronic sampler. You know what I'm saying? Keyboard. And that's, I used to use floppy disks on that boy.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And I was there. And I promise you, I think, nah, that was, readers was out there. And that was my first piece of equipment. So, I mean, now you can just buy a cat. I want sound kit online and you know, play, replay the pattern. You feel me? But man, when you somebody that's passionate about music, though, you like, man, I wonder how they got that sense like that, man. I wonder how Fly Stone made that sound effect on that track, man, on that snare. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes it funky, bro. That's what we try to do, man. We try to bring that funk signal in our music, bro. We try to whatever it is,
it's gonna
hold on to you and make you feel that beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, and I can respect that, cause one of my favorite things, my OG, he passed away, my uncle, a couple years back. But we used to sit up, smoke, and listen to music. Appreciate that, man. But he was like a music teacher, because he was like, I would play him our new music and he would be like, well, no, that's a sample from this. And I'd go back and listen to it. So my three favorite samples of all time, man. And I'm going to ask you yours. But my three favorite samples, Lisa Fisher, How Can I Ease the Pain? And I don't know if you remember 3-6 Mafia, Late Night Tip, and then Pastor Troy had a song called Wanting You. And the listeners out there, y'all can go Google this shit and tell me this shit ain't funky, man. Okay?
Yeah.
It's another one, and Trey did it on Swang, but the sample from Lady in My Life from Michael Jackson. Yeah, see, you felt that. You feel that in your soul. That shit hard. And then my last one, Jay-Z did it on his last album, but that the Jamaican joint, Bam Bam by Sister Nancy.
Oh, man.
And Too Short used it on Blow Job Betty and shit. Like, that bass line's so funky, man. Dog.
Yeah. Give it to him, bro.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man. So tell me, like, when you, if you want, if, because I know you mentioned Willie Hutch earlier. A lot of folks don't realize that international players, but that was taken from the Choose You by Project Pat, who's my favorite rapper ever. But Pimp C heard it on Project Pat, I Choose You, off Laying the Smackdown, and he wanted to use it on international players anthem. But I know you mentioned Willie Hutch. 3-6 used a lot of Willie Hutch, so I'm familiar with them. Who are some of your favorite samples?
Man, I give you something funky to check out. It's a dude named Fela Kuti, F-E-L-A. He's a Nigerian artist.
Okay.
Old school, bro. He used to perform at his club. He had a club in his house. He used to wear a draw. He's married to like 26 women. Man, this dude got a song called, actually, I sent you a track where I sat with that boy.
Okay.
Water has no energy. If I tell you, bro, his intros will be like 5 to 6 minutes long and just funk, bro, pure funk. So him, man, Parliament Funk always came with some extravagant samples, man. Especially like that, I can get that I'd rather be with you, and I could cut that thing up all day, bro. And I give you one more, man. Of course, Isaac Hayes.
Okay.
Isaac Hayes changed for a minute. Hip hop had jumped on his wagon so hard because one of the things Isaac did that was different from a lot of orchestrators, he brought us the strings.
Yeah.
So if you notice, the strings had so much emotion. Lil Jon, all his tracks was bringing them strings up.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a fight in the club every week.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that shit, it was another one that I can't think of it now. But. See, you got me thinking now, man, because, like, people don't understand that when you put that older shit, that's that flavor, bro, because you mentioned Parliament. My uncle was a big Parliament fan.
Man, come on, dog. Let's talk about it.
And then, so, like, with this Childish Gambino, that red bone come out instantly. Yeah, I'm like, nah, man, that's Bootsy. That's Bootsy.
I swear. I said, man, he had the right or post. He did something on that, man. I can't believe this dude. Not a sound like that, bro.
Yeah.
But you know what, that baseline, that rhythm,
yeah.
You can see it. His DNA is all in that track.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Nah, and but that's one of the things I can appreciate, because again, as an artist, it's okay to innovate and take old things and flip them. Like how you said, you could chop it up 105 ways, right? You can take a piece of it. It's been times where people just take a little piece of a song and I'd be like, I know where they got that from. That one little, like, sound in there. And if for me, I'm an Isley Brothers fan. And I always say it on Summer Breeze, because 3-6 Mafia did it a couple times. If you could take that first little, like, 40 seconds of the intro, that dun 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 dun, that's my montage. You ever been, like, so you've been feeling yourself, and you'd be like, if slow motion music was playing right now, the first 40 seconds of Summer Breeze is my theme song for life. On some player shit. When I'm out, just walking in my head, I'm slow motion and summer breeze makes me feel fine. You know what I'm saying?
I like this. You know what? This is a good one, and I feel that one. But man, for some reason.
I'm a fool.
That's
how it's supposed to be, man. You gotta have a theme song. Every superhero needs a theme song, man. I'm gonna leave it at that. Moving on, though, man. I gotta ask you. Who are some of the artists that you've worked with up to this point?
Man, it's pretty much anybody from Houston. We pretty much have some dealings with. I must say, I have never dealt with Paul Wall. That's the only one I don't think that I've touched some projects that went through, but I've never dealt with him directly. So pretty much anybody from Houston, yeah. I've touched projects with David. I've touched projects with Face. Touched projects with Short. Mm-hmm. And on the R&B note, I've touched projects with H-Town and Jonas.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about my mans? Wasn't he from Houston,
Orange Juice Jones?
And him walking in the rain. That's my go-to karaoke song. That's my go-to karaoke song. If we out drinking and it's karaoke night, you throw that on, I'm going to perform it. I'm going to give an encore afterwards. That's just how I roll.
Come on, bro. That's too loud. That came a little, like I said, that was before my death. I came up, when I was coming up, I guess you could say the screw head was popping off.
Yep.
And 90s, around the late 90s is when I started, you know, diving into the music. You know, helping with writing and things of that nature.
So who are some artists that you are interested in working with moving forward?
Man, I'd have to say Crit.
Okay.
I definitely would have to say Ross. And I definitely, well, you know, of course you want the majors, the big, you know, five, I guess, would be, and also Jada.
Mm-hmm.
I had the chance to, you know, kind of chop it up with him at one point, but I was really trying to nail that opportunity.
Yeah.
If I could get Jade on something.
I'd be fired up.
I love it. We'll be right back.
get to know you, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more in depth. You know, it's been a good interview so far, but I want you to know, and I tell everybody this, how you answer these next couple questions, I'm going to judge you, and that'll determine if we do business moving forward. Man, that's just how it is. I'm sorry. I got to judge you.
Okay.
I got to judge you.
That's cool. I'm ready for it.
All right. If you could play a part in the remake of one of these hood movies, which one would it be, and which character would it be? So it's one.
Okay.
House Party,
okay.
Juice, or Boys in the Hood?
House Party, Juice, or Boys in the Hood. I'm gonna have to say House Party.
Okay. Which character?
And I would have to play.
Okay. The smooth operator. You the smooth operator?
Plus, you know, the other two movies, man, I haven't seen the next two of them.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to party. I don't want to hurt nobody.
Just keep it happy, right?
Nah, makes sense. All right, so producers, right? Pharrell or Timbaland?
Timbaland.
Okay. Swiss Beats or Just Blaze?
Just Blaze.
All right, those two have been easy. I'm about to fuck your whole shit up right now. Pimp C or Manny Fresh?
I work with both of them. And I wish I could work with Pimp
C. Okay. Man, Pimp C, look, time out. We have to stop right here. We have to switch gears. Pimp C is that nigga. And I want people to understand this, right? Because, I mean, you know, because you're like Houston and me being down here and seeing the culture and stuff. But Pimp C is what the South would have been and what the South was supposed to be. If he would have still been here, it wouldn't have went. Now, there's nothing wrong with the way it's gone, but I think it would have went another level higher and further advanced the art form light years ahead. Because you mentioned earlier how you liked Jazzy Faye. You know, you think of like Sleepy Brown, different members of the Dungeon family. You think Beats by the Pound. Like, all of those people had influences from Pimp C. Like, they fruit off his tree. Even the David Banners and fast forwarding it to Crit. You feel what I'm saying?
I can't
gloss over that.
Yeah, Swamp House, everything. That's what made the Southern sound so sweet.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, everything was on clear. We was like, charging to the game, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's evolved. It's doing something totally different now.
Yeah. But I heard it resurrected in Big Crit's music. When I heard Big Crit, I thought instantly, like when I first heard him way back, like a couple years back, I was like, this sounds like Big Boy mixed with Pimp C.
That's
what I heard. And then he just got better.
A lot of us thought when we first heard it, we was like, who's this bite?
Yeah.
But then when we listened to him, his direction that he was coming from and his ability to be modest about his influences is what really won us over.
Yeah.
To where we were like, okay, yeah, we rock with
him. Yeah.
You know.
He had that humility early on, and as his sound evolved, I heard a lot of UGK, I heard a lot of Outkast, I heard a lot of 3-6, I heard a lot of 8-Ball and MJG, I heard a lot of all the different Southern influences, and I feel like, so he did that, then finally on that, a couple albums back, he said, King of the South, and nobody had no problems with that shit.
Not at all. Nope.
He earned that, I feel like.
Yeah, he did, man. Boy, say standing on Mount Olympus. He's Olympus.
So I built all of that up. Now I gotta trip you up. Okay. If you had to pick between Big Crit or David Banner on the beats, who would you pick?
If I had to pick between the two on beats. Man, I can see now if you say lyrics, that's one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm gonna have to say Banner.
Okay.
Cause I've been a study of his work. Banner can give you that player vibe and that club vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Crit is a club vibe or a hard vibe. It's difficult for Crit to give you that club vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of his club songs don't take off like that because his club vibe is not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's not a weakness, it's just his specialty is, you know what I'm saying, giving you that, it gives you something to swing in.
See, I didn't think about it. I like that. Because I never really thought of it like that. Because I remember David Banner coming up. Like, we listened to him, but we was joking. Because when he dropped God Box, I liked the message, but I felt like artistically it didn't translate to what he was trying to do. That's just like my take on it. But you know he come with the heat, though. You feel what I'm saying? And he got them singles and them club bangers.
As a
musician, do you prefer percussions or strings?
Embody a different emotion, bro.
I got you on the strings. If you wanna see a real nigga cry, man, play some strings.
Yeah.
Take us back to our heritage.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. Listen to Keith Sweat work. It was very minimal strings and then Keith Sweat work. But when it's in the Trump level.
Yeah.
Hey.
What they say on the West Coast, when it starts slapping like Chewbacca in the trunk, yeah. It's over. Yeah. I'm a big E40 man, righteous man. I'm a big E40 fan, bro. Like top five favorite rapper, like ever.
Man, shout out to the man, top five hustler.
Yeah,
that boy, he transcends rap, man. That boy, just an all around person. That's one of them people. Yeah, I ain't with him for a day if I could.
Yeah,
one of those guys.
All right, man. So movie wise, you got Paid in Full or Belly?
That's a good one. I'd say Belly. I'm
going
to go with Belly on that one. Yeah.
Okay. Carlito's Way or Scarface?
Scarface.
Okay. And last one. Last one. Hillary Banks or Denise Huxtable?
Denise.
Because she's artistic. That was an easy one. That's artistic.
Yeah.
She going to be bringing you albums and shit, man. That's all it is. Hey, Righteous, you should sample this. Oh, Righteous, maybe you should think about sampling this on your neck. And then smoking the joint. That's all that is.
Yeah, the needle was right back.
Yep. All right, man. So, who are your top three favorite producers? Not the best, but like, who are your favorite that you listen to all the time?
Man, wow, that's a good one, bro. Like I said, I got it once again. It's everywhere back in there. Willie Hutch. I want to say Willie. I want to say Organized Noise.
Okay.
I can definitely listen to Organized Noise. And also, I want to say, what's my guy name? God, Willie. Let me see. Willie, Organized Noise. And Clay.
Okay. How do you compartmentalize all of this stuff? Like, is it just programmed into your mind? Like, if you was to just hear a random sound and you could sync it back to where you first heard it, like, how does that work?
Honestly, man, it's like muscle memory. You know what I'm saying? You got to get them 10,000 hours in.
Yep.
And I know for a fact I got 10,000 hours in of just listening to music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just absorbing it. and just putting it in the brain, man, because you know it all comes back. It regurgitates.
Yeah.
When you're in an element, and I might have an R&B singer, and I say, hey, now sing this part like this because it's going to remind everybody of this. You know what
yep,
I'm saying?
Yep.
And then that's that piece of icing that makes it taste so pretty.
No, already.
I love it.
On there, bro. It's about 3 or 4, like that one with Travis Scott was fire too. That 4 a.m. That shit hard.
Oh man, and I just recently heard some of
the
SDA shit. Yeah. And I was like, I just give them the letter to SDA and her voice is ridiculous. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
The range of her track was, but him and that OJ joint.
Yeah. Like that. So we got a better understanding of who you are, what the Bang Pros movement is about, man. What do you plan to accomplish in the game that you haven't already accomplished, bro?
Oh, man, it's just a takeoff. Right now, man, we so focused on, doing this cypher thing, man, for the city. You know what I'm saying? Giving everybody an opportunity to come into the new studio we have built. And, you know, bless the mic, man, giving them all a chance to be in the atmosphere with us, network with us, and just be the, we trying to be the mecca of music when it comes to Houston. You know what I'm saying? We need to be the first name you think of when you say, man, I need some dope production, I need some hot, you feel me?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what we aiming for this year, man, and this cypher, like I told you, man, it's something special, the way all these people, everybody's responding to it. You know, we they're actually like, man, that's pretty cheap. You know, we doing for 220, you in the house with it, and going to work, putting in a little work. Drop the 12, man, and let's rip.
So tell us a little bit more about the cypher, man. When is it? It's taking place next week, right? Where and what all they got to do to be? If the listeners out there, if they trying to get down with it.
Oh man, simply what it is, man. The cypher is you come in, we allowing you to come in, spit a 12 over Bang Professions track, coming to our studio, see the new studio, and hopefully fall in love with it. Cause, you know, we try, that's what we want. We want you to come in, feel the environment, fall in love with, and also what we're putting together, we have it recorded. So it'll be televised by none other than Miss Cat.
Well, shout out to Miss Cat. Shout out to Miss Cat.
Once again, shout out to Miss Cat. So she's gonna have it, you know, we got a plug in bond. He's gonna be recording the cipher. And like I said, once it's put on TV, we get it, he's gonna edit it up. We got a club location we're looking at to host a video release of the cipher.
Okay.
So that, you know, the artists can network and just chop it up. But you know, like I said, with the 220, you get to come in for 30 minutes, lay your verses down, you get a copy of the final mix of the cipher, you get a copy of your in studio footage, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just for you to promote yourself, and you get a free ticket to the after party.
Okay.
And also, I'm sorry, at the after party, we'll be raffling off some opportunity to win a studio session with us or a sponsored video by my man, Plugged In Bond.
Okay. It sound like a rich pot, man. Man, all the artists out there, man. Make sure.
For 220, bro. You can't beat that for 220.
No, you can't. You can't. It's an opportunity of a lifetime if you're serious.
Yeah, it is, man. Definitely. So, like, we're motivated, man, and just trying to push this cipher and get everybody in that we can. You know, come on, put your skills to the test. Nobody judging you. We get in the atmosphere with some real producers and let us, you know, let us hear what you got and let's see how, you know, just come and be in the atmosphere with us, man. Network with us.
Yeah. So, in addition to that, because clearly this is, to me, and you know, game recognized game, this is just a setup for something bigger. And I know you said what you plan to accomplish. So, what other projects and ventures are you and the team working on? What's coming up next for y'all?
Oh, man. Even after that, as we've been doing for the last couple months, we are getting ready to hold Bangladesh and Miss Cat TV's The Playlist Showcase at Budweiser on September 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We're anticipating over 3,000 in attendance, and we will be honoring some heavyweights in the game: Michael Watt, Mad Hatter, Skrilla, the movie man, Skrilla,
yeah.
And we'll be honoring also Lester Pace, man who's done over 15 years with Interscope Records.
Okay.
And we also have one more, but we holding on to let y'all know that one's going to be special.
All right, you ain't got to give it away. You ain't got to give it away. It's cool.
Man.
It's cool. So, Righteous, man, give us the social media where the listeners can follow so they can keep track of all of this stuff as y'all keep pumping out the events and the opportunities, man.
Man, that's cool, bro. Like I said, it's all about building these platforms for the independent artists, man. It's our time. You can catch us on Instagram, BANGPROD365. Instagram, BANGPROD365. You can catch us on Facebook, BANGPROD. You can catch us on Twitter, BANG365. Now you can go to our website at BANGPROD.com, or you can email us at BANGPROD365@gmail.com. That's our email. And if you want to call us, let me throw that out there. 832-930. Once again, 832-930-BANG.
Already, man. See, bro, I'm you know, we're going to stay in contact. So I want to try to make it out to one of these. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. I'm going back to Detroit to get married. So,
but, oh, yeah, congratulations.
Appreciate it, man. I'm be singing Ronald Isley in my head as I'm walking down the aisle, like I'm going to have that theme music. But, you know, so
real,
so I'm hustling, right, because I'm trying to, like, make up for it so that week that I'm gone, I can just kind of enjoy that. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling all the listeners out there, after this wedding, it's on. Y'all niggas going to see me out and about. Y'all going to see a lot of me. I'm about to hustle double time because now I got to provide even more for my wife and shit. So it's on for y'all. So
That's right.
Do everything y'all got to do now. But the streets is about to get cleaned up when I step back on the scene. That's all I got to say from that, man.
Lock it down, baby. Lock it down.
But, Righteous, man, we appreciate you taking time. I know you real busy and all, man. thank you just for, you know, shining light. You know what I'm saying? This platform at Inaudible Ruckus is all about giving a voice to those that want to be heard, man. And, you know, we get a lot of rappers, but the hip-hop as an art form, man, it's a lot of DJs, producers, composers. It's a lot more to it than just the rapper, the MC part, man. So yeah. I'm glad that you was able to come and help us show that versatility, man. And more, I wish you nothing but the best to you and your squad, man. Y'all out here making moves, you, and we definitely going to link up in the future, bro.
Come on, man. Come on with it. Let's do it. We're ready for you, man.
All right, y'all, man. This is the Ski Tall Listening Series presented by Inaudible Ruckus.
Take him out. Wait, man. Chichi. Chichi, get the game.